what's coming up on today's experience. Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show, which have nothing to do with life, but a merry heart makes like medicine. And apparently, the way things are going in society, everybody could use a little more medicine. Just a quick question. Do you have your Goss pills? That's all I'm asking. Do you have your Goss pills? Get it? Goss pills. All right. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Try to remember that news with an agenda is propaganda. Oh, wait. And everybody has an agenda. Ooh, life lessons for our faith that we could actually use probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? The truth of the matter is that I have a radio show because I cannot stop talking. Could you imagine being in the same house with me? I mean, could you just imagine? Wow. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We've told you that about 9,000 times, and we really mean it. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian, that thingy. So, you know, what are some of the strengths that the Lord has put inside of you, inside of me? What are some of the strengths that the Lord's put in us? And are we using those strengths to advance his kingdom? So the Lord's given people giftings and so on. Are we using that for the glory of God? That's what we're asking. Hey, if you've got an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. That's sad. Just give us a call, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call 972-445-0770, when you make that call, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to kid a Dynamite. Dynamite!
All right, talking to Dynamite D. That is, and I don't know if we've ever said this before, so I want to say it to you as a very high compliment. That is the difference between talking to somebody who just thinks of their work as a job and somebody else who thinks of their work as a calling.
Oh, Dave, you outdid yourself.
Yeah, that's a good
one. How much
one.
I owe you?
About $350. Okay. About $350. Okay, that's what it's like to talk Dynamite D. If you want to call and talk to us, you can do that. If you want to text, you can do that as well. To text, you just simply dial or put in the numbers for your text, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Semi-professional voice coming up here.
214-210-8483. Have a nice weekend.
There you go. That's pretty good from that part of it. Also, you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's David, D-A-V-I-D, @hemustincrease.org. Very simple. We do our best on that. The Chromebook is working today, which I'm very excited about. We're also going to send you up to the website. And guess what? I'm not going to bug you about money. You got money, you can give it? Great. Do your best. The other part that's cool is there's cool updated material, plus there's articles, plus there's videos, plus there's things on there you probably don't know about. Check out hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
HemosIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HemosIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HemosIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HemosIncrease.org.
HemosIncrease.org.
All right, I'm going to have to get the joke. It's a classic joke that goes with that. So, for whom doth the bell toll? It tolleth for thee. We'll get to that later on. Here's the bottom line to the whole process here. Look, we need to take care of one another, bless one another, encourage one another, strengthen one another, right? This is what we need to do. There is so much stuff going on, and the attacks against Christianity. I was talking to Noel last night. I'm just going to let you know. And some stuff that I, you know, as I go through Revelation, I see it in a multi-platform method, okay? So I want you to understand that because of that, I see things like together in a kind of a parallel mentality. And so you can just look at it and look outside and look at what's going on, and the Christian faith is under a direct attack from the government and from the education system and from an economic point of view as well. There's a lot of attack going on. Guess what we need to do for one another? Help one another, strengthen one another, bless one another, encourage one another. If you've got a prayer request, bring it. If you've got a praise report, bring it. You don't have to do it well. Everybody needs to contribute whatever we can do. That's really the biggest key to helping one another. In fact, Lisa, Eric's Lisa, she's at the hospital today. It's not a bad thing in the sense that it was kind of planned, unlike when they went through this before. So we're going to just pray. We lift her up in prayer. We're going to pray for everybody for physical healing and for mental and emotional healing. So let's just do it. Take your faith. I got my faith. D's got his faith. My faith's probably a little higher today. So let's take it and bring it and do it before the Lord right now together as one. Father, we come before you right now in the powerful, precious, and awesome name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we are asking you to bring healing and grace and mercy upon the people that are in our lives who are in physical stress and difficulty. We lift up Lisa to you specifically, ask her that her procedure would be simple, no problems. We'd get a report from Eric saying all good all the way through, and she would recover quickly. We ask you to touch other people who are physically hurting, like our precious brother Gary, and for Deborah, and for all the people that have gone through it, and brother Ace, and everybody who's had struggles, even myself, Lord, with my arm. I just ask you to take that pain out in the name of Jesus, and bring your mercy and your grace and your healing power in. That's why we call you Jehovah Rapha, because you're the God that heals. And we're asking you to also touch people who are struggling inwardly, because those pains can be as bad, if not worse, depending on what's going on. And we ask you to bring peace where there is turmoil on the inside. Jesus, like you spoke to the wind and the waves, tell the wind to be quiet and the waves to be still in people's lives. Bring healing to your people. You are a God of comfort. We ask you to comfort all of us, and we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay. We are at such a cool part. I am so excited. I'm trying not to get overexcited. Probably won't happen. Hebrews chapter 12. We're technically at verse 1b, or actually 1c, which means we're about halfway through verse 1. Just go to Hebrews chapter 12. Follow along. I don't think we'll have a lot of problem with this. We talked about this last week. Therefore, since we also have such a great cloud of witness, we talked about the cloud, we talked about the witness, let us lay aside every hindrance and sin that easily snares us. We talked about that. Here we go to this next portion. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus. Okay. Just everybody go home and just do that. Do it every single day, every single hour. You will have a phenomenally better Christianity. There you go. I mean, you think I'm kidding? No. Listen to what the scripture says. Let us run with endurance. Before we get there, let's go back up just a second. Okay, back up. When it talks about cloud of witness surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance and sin that so easily ensnares us. A lot of stuff comes at us. I mean, that you have to understand that's a part of it. When stuff comes at us left and right. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us. Do you know that what that phrase lies before us? In the NIV, it says marked out. That's the phrase that it uses. It usually says set before us in some capacity. The Greek word is protimhi. Okay, it's one of those tougher words, right? So it's prokimhi. That's what it is. Sorry. Yeah, I'm not that good at pronouncing Greek. What do you want, right? I know what baklava is. Here's the bottom line. That word means destined, set up to be. Vines, everybody knows Vines Dictionary, and everybody's used that probably in the past, give that definition as actually destined as in predestined or determined or whatever the case may be. Now watch when you use that Greek word in there. Let us lay aside every hindrance and sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that has been destined for us. This isn't like God throwing dice going, gee, I hope it works out. The Lord knows what your race is. He knows what your pattern is. When people go on races and they go on long-term races or marathons and so on and so forth, you know what they do? They mark the trail. That's what it's talking about. And so you have a trail that's marked. That's okay. You don't know all of the turns. You don't know all the corners. You don't know all the changes. God does. That's called omniscience, and that's a good thing. And then it tells you how to do this. How do we go through this? How you run with endurance the race? You do this with a couple of elements or a couple of tools. You run the race that lies before you. What? Keeping your eyes on what? Keeping your eyes on what? Keeping your eyes on Jesus. On who? Jesus. You keep your eyes on Jesus. It doesn't get better than this portion right here. It tells us that Jesus endured, and we're going to get into what he endured and how he endured it. But what I want you to mean is, what do we keep our eyes on Jesus? You think that's a joke? It's not a joke. This is what we talk about when we talk about walking by faith and not by sight. This is it. Look at your picture. Look at your circumstance. Look at your life. Look at it. Don't ignore it. But take the picture of Jesus and put it in there and then evaluate it. So you're looking at your picture. This isn't imaging and positive thinking. That's ridiculous. Look to Jesus. Look at your circumstance and insert Jesus because he's there for you. And that's how you look at it. That's how you go through it. That's how you push on. We're not even talking about anything. This is exactly what it's saying. Keep your eyes on Jesus.
Well, how do I keep my eyes on Jesus?
Well, everything you look at, you make sure that you have Jesus in that picture too, because as you see it, your flesh and the world is not going to present that picture with Jesus. So your job as a Christian is to put that in there. Yeah. And if we did that, here's the truth. It wouldn't be as hard or as bad or as heavy. That's the truth. Because you know he's in the picture. You just think about him in the boat with the disciples.
Oh, we're going to drown.
Right up until Jesus said, okay, everybody, calm down. It's like the first thing he says all the time. The peace be unto you is take a chill, but we'll figure that out some other time. Let's just take our break and come back. There's so much to cover, and I don't have enough time. Let's do it. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Have you ever wanted to get involved with a ministry that promotes Jesus Christ as Lord, but just don't know how? Serving in ministry is a matter of devotion, time, and talent. Are you looking for a place to try and test the waters? Do you want to get involved? Come join the Ambassadors Initiative. Be an ambassador for the David Spoon Experience. It doesn't pay great. Actually, it doesn't pay anything. But the eternal benefits are out of this world. Be a representative. Why not? It couldn't hurt. Well, we hope not anyway. You don't need to be a professionally qualified minister. You need to have a pulse. By that, we mean you need to have a heart. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website and then click on the Ambassadors Initiative link. Fill out the form and we will reach out to you. Sorry. No parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Let me tell you what I'm torn between the two. I'm twixt between the torn two. You want to know why? I've got the biggest breaking story ever.
No, you need to do that first. Yeah, I just can't wait.
More than my whole thing about the four-way stop sign.
Yep.
You want me to do the number one story?
That's
Ladies
right.
and gentlemen, you better get ready. Here's my advice. I don't give this advice very often, and I don't give it uncheckfully. What's uncheckfully? I don't know. Here's the biggest story you have ever heard on the David Spoon Experience. If you have children who are listening, if you are not in a car, it's time to cover their ears or send them into another room. That's how chilling this is. Ladies and gentlemen, I have it off the press literally within the last 2.5 hours. Actually, it's less than 2.5 hours ago. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. I have it right in my hands. Get ready. Do not get nauseous when you hear this. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a fact that as of today, the Navy, the United States Navy, officially has made its proclamation. Ready? Are you ready? Are you listening? This is the most important thing ever. You ready? That Captain Crunch is a fraud. Ladies and gentlemen, the United States Navy has declared that Captain Crunch...
I do not buy it.
No, listen to this. Here's why. Let me tell you why. Captain Crunch has 3 stripes on his cuffs, and that signifies a commander and not a captain. So the United States Navy has made it absolutely known today, Captain Crunch, nay... He nay a captain. Nay. Now, it is true.
Are you going to rename the cereal?
No.
Commander Crunch?
Yes, Commander Crunch. That's the new. That's why I told you, don't let your kids hear this. It is possible that that uniform could represent either German or Portuguese Navy. They are not sure because all of those uniforms were lost with their great navies. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, where we are getting ready to do, the teaching and the trivia. It's just like this whole show is going to be just like this. Oh, it's so exciting. All right, here's your first trivia question. This is not overly difficult because we've talked about it a number of times on the show, so I want you to think about it from that perspective. I'm not looking for you to be brilliant. I'm not looking for you to be a theologue or anything like that. Very simple. In the Old Testament, how many books are identified as poetry? Okay, that's our trivia question. How many books are identified as poetry? You see what I'm saying? That's a big thing. Now, we did have some phone problems yesterday, and we are only hoping, because we have reset the whole system, that it works. There is no guarantee, okay? But your trivia question is, in the Old Testament, how many books are identified as poetry? Okay, because there is a grouping. Remember, we've got the grouping, because another question's going to come about another section. Okay, we do have somebody. Are they going to answer the triv too? Yep. Oh, everything. Wow. All right, send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is a guy from the Best Buy that you owed me money.
Yeah, let me tell you something, Best Buy. Your cheap TVs are too much. Same TV at Walmart, $80 less. I just want to point that out. What's going on, brother? You ready to answer, the trivia?
Yes, I'm going to give a shot. I believe there are two books in the Old Testament.
That are, how many books is identified as poetry?
I think two.
Okay, now I'm going to help you out
maybe
here.
Maybe three.
Okay, now I'm going to help you out here again. Keep going. If it's not three, what's after three?
Four.
And then what's after four?
Five.
That is the right answer!
No.
So in the Old Testament.
Think of the Maya, huh?
Yeah, so right. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon are considered poetry.
But isn't those are like a wisdom literature?
Yes, but they're considered poetic. And so one of the teachings we did on Monday was this little section on Job, and you get to see where he's you see where he waxes overly poetically philosophical. And so that's why they're grouped in a certain way. So it's pretty kind of a cool thing. So anyway,
well, that's why I'm minimizing like a Proverbs and Psalm. I said those are like more literature.
Yeah, I got you. But that's what they consider poetry.
Thank you for teaching me.
Yeah. It'll be $1.50. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. All right. What's happening otherwise?
Please pray for my older sister. She's just dealing with some high blood pressure. So right now she's stable, but we're going to pray that may the Lord just touch her and stabilize and re-regulate her blood pressure. So
okay, let's do it. Let's pray. What's her name?
Rehana.
Okay, let's pray for her.
Yeah.
Father, we come before you right now, and we just thank you and praise you for our brother. We ask you to bless him this day, fill his heart full of joy. We pray for the sister, Rehana, and we ask you in the name of Jesus that you would bring healing into her body and that she would know it's not just the regulating, it's not just the medicine, it's also a divine touch that puts her back on track. And in her heart and mind, she would lift up and say, thank you, Lord, and that you would be acknowledged for it, and that our brother would be blessed for it, and he'd be able to share that with us. We ask you to bless that family. Keep them all safe in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. And Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom, bro. God bless.
All right. Thank you. Okay, God bless. Bye-bye.
All right. We'll do our DNA in the next segment over because I've got to get into this. Because if I don't do this one part here, I'm going to cry. And I don't feel like crying. So here we go. Let's go back. So let's look at the verse Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance and every sin that so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance, which means, right, you're not sprinting. Stop sprinting. You run with endurance. Do you know what you don't do in a marathon? Sprint. You run with pace. You got to pace yourself, right? If you don't pace yourself, what happens? If you run a marathon and you don't pace yourself, what happens? You don't finish. So run with endurance. The race that lies before us, something that's been marked out for us, something that we understand that God knows every turn and twist in, and even if we don't. And it says, keeping our eyes on Jesus, ready? The source and perfecter of our faith. Now, you want to know why you keep your eyes on Jesus and you insert Jesus into the picture? He's actually the source, the author. Now, there's another text that says author and finisher. I like that. Because here's why I like that. And it never bothers me when people get all upset about it. It's like, yeah, the Lord doesn't care about that. He's so much bigger than a translation. Get over that. But author is somebody who writes the book, right? A finisher completes the project. It's like, how good is that, right? But he's the source. God's not just your resource. He's your source. And he's the perfecter, which means completer, finisher. He's the perfecter and the finisher, the source and the finisher of our faith. So that's why you keep your eyes on him. Now, here it is right here. It's like the best part. It almost, in a lot of the New Testament, this is the best part. You notice I say that a lot. But there's a lot of great stuff. Here it is. For the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. How did he do it? He what? He endured the cross. How did he do it? The joy that was set before him. Do you know how people train as they think of where it's going? I'm just going to give you the best illustration in the world. You guys know it's true. Do you know why people diet besides health? Because of where they're going to be when it's done. That's just the fact. Right? Well, guess what that principle is? It's like right here. The joy that was set before Jesus. He was like, here we go. We're gonna get into next week all the stuff that they did, which is brutal, right? He just pushed past. You want to know how you push past? Right here. Because the Lord has promised you an incredible engagement with him. And that's how you push past. And you think, it's so hard. It has so many moments. There's such, you know, things that throw at us and they try to trip us and hurt us and wound us. Yep. But in 100 years, it won't matter. What? We lovingly say, if the worst thing that ever can happen to you is you starve to death, but you are a Christian, be the greatest thing because then you go see Jesus. I mean, it's just like one of those things where you're just like, you know what? You know, the joy that's set before you gives you the ability to keep enduring and keep going, and you set that all up by keeping your eyes on Jesus. Oh, my goodness. Could we all grow up as Christians? Wouldn't that be great? All right, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the true station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
There was a pastor, now I use that word with some reservation, having been involved in ministry and having the privilege of planting seven churches throughout the United States and having three separate ordinations, I have a tremendous amount of respect for people who commit their lives into ministry. But whenever there's somebody on television or anywhere else that is a nut job, then I just call it like I see it. Okay, now that's what I call it. Call it like I see it. On the Sean Hannity show, roughly about 2 weeks ago, a reverend, so-called Reverend Oliver White was on the show, and Reverend Wright said this, and I'm going to repeat it because some of these things are just unbelievable. He said that Jesus was wrong about marriage. At least he didn't have the audacity to say he never said anything about marriage. He said Jesus was wrong about marriage and that marriage should be more than between a man and a woman. And then he proceeded to say this statement, ladies and gentlemen. He said this. Now, this isn't even the thing that's irritating. Then he proceeded to say this. If Jesus were alive today, he said, he would say, I didn't know it all. This is a man who's supposed to be representing Jesus Christ as a minister. This guy's no minister. And if you want to say, well, that's judging, I'll take that judgment all day long. All day long, I'll take that judgment, no matter what anybody says. Here's a guy that says two things. One, Jesus was wrong about marriage. Two, if Jesus were alive today, any person who proclaims or professes to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ and questions whether Jesus Christ is alive today or not is not a minister, but a false teacher. I don't care. I don't care if you like it. I don't care if you think that's mean. That's irrelevant. Facts are facts. And here's the thing that overwhelms me. This overwhelms me, ladies and gentlemen. Any person who is in public office, now this goes with this, all three of these things go together. Any person who is in public office who changes their convictions about same-sex marriage because another family member has made a decision to go into the lifestyle of being gay or lesbian, any person who changes their convictions, their biblical Christian convictions, based on another family member changing their status
into a gay or lesbian lifestyle, and then that person then changes their Bible convictions to accommodate their family member, is not fit to be a Christian. That's right. I said it.
770 KAAM, Garland, Dallas, Fort Worth.